Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I am Ken Tuck. Thank you for joining me this morning. I hope all is going well for you. Today, we're going to talk about how our actions matter. And in case you've been living under a rock, which actually may not be a bad idea right now, you know there's so much going on in our country, from the pandemic to political unrest, social unrest, and how we respond during these situations really, really matters. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to, and that's you, Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, and just thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about your word today on air, across the radio waves, across the internet. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us everything that we need to know, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, guide us, and direct us into all your truths, Father God. And Father, I pray for each one listening today. God, you know each situation, every need, and just want to lift them up to you, Father. God, if anyone out there is battling with COVID, we pray for their healing in the name of Jesus. Father, if anyone is listening who has not given their lives to you, then I pray that today, even this morning, will be the day that they surrender their lives to you, Jesus, and experience your awesome love, your forgiveness in your life. Father, we know much is going on in this country. God, you know it better than we do. But Father, we want to lift this country up to you. Pray for peace. Pray for salvation for those who don't know you. Pray for those who are followers of you, Jesus, to respond like we're supposed to respond, like you tell us to respond to each and every situation that occurs, that comes up, that is going on. So, Father God, we just, again, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, as you know, there's a lot going on in our country right now. We have been talking about it for a while now, and we're going to continue to address it because God's word tells us how to address situations, every situation, actually. And if we will just follow, obey, put his word to work in our lives, then we will see things change. We will see people change because people are looking at how we, who confess to be believers in Jesus Christ, are responding during these tumultuous times that our nation's going through right now. There's a lot of fear being circulated right now, and it's mainly through the lens of politics. And unfortunately, there's a good bit of that coming from confessing Christians. We got to be careful. Don't get caught up in listening to all of the conspiracy theories. Don't get caught up in the fear that's out there. And definitely don't be one who is spreading fear and hatred and violence, because that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. Because all of that is works of Satan. You look at hatred that comes from him, violence that comes from him, fear. That's one of his biggest weapons. So let's don't get caught up in that. As we talked about last week, let's focus on Jesus. He's the one we need to have our focus on, because the fact of the matter is our families, friends, people in this city, people in this country, people around the world need to see Christians responding like Jesus wants us to respond, commands us to respond to the issues of today. We want to make a difference in this world, then we need to live like Jesus, be obedient to his word. It seems like everything is political these days, and pretty much has been, but it just gets more and more political as the years go on, and it's easy to get caught up in that. But when reading about the public ministry of Jesus Christ in the four Gospels, we clearly see Jesus, how he lives. We clearly see how he expects us to live. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Jesus, he was the promised Messiah, the Christ. He had the right to rule over the entire nation of Israel when he came. And that's what they were looking for him to do. They were looking for the Messiah to come in and to just wipe out the Romans and wipe out their rule over them. But that's not why Jesus came. He came as the promised Messiah. And as we look at his public ministry, we see that Jesus avoided any involvement in the current political issues of his day. There's nothing recorded in the New Testament about Jesus speaking out against any of the political issues of his day. He didn't speak out against Rome and the Roman rule. Nothing in his teachings gives even the slightest hint that he had any political involvement. In fact, Jesus refused to lead any political movement. He resisted when people wanted to make him king. Again, the Jews were looking for a Messiah, king to come and to deliver them from the rule of the Romans. But that, again, that's not why Jesus came. And although Jesus did not incite people against Rome, this was one of the charges brought up against him when the Jews brought him before Pilate. The religious leaders brought him before Pilate, and they accused him of inciting people against Rome, which he never did. Now, the closest thing we see Jesus talking about the government is in Matthew 22. When they're trying to trip him up, they say, well, should we pay taxes? And Jesus says, let me see that coin. And he says, whose picture is this on the coin? And they say, it's Caesar's. And so in verse 21, Jesus says, then pay Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and God the things that are God's. And that's about as political as Jesus got, as we read in the four Gospels. Is he said, we should pay those taxes then. If that's what Caesar wants, then that's what happens. But he says to God, given to God what's God's. And Jesus' behavior was in stark contrast to some of the false messiahs that preceded him. And you can read about that in Scripture in Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 21. They talk about some of the false messiahs that came before him, and they did try to incite people against government, against the rule of government. But Jesus states clearly that his kingdom is not of this world. Let's read about that in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. This is when Jesus was brought before Pilate. Pilate took him aside and was asking him, look, are you a king? And Jesus answered him, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So Jesus is saying, look, I am a king, and my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, then we would be fighting you right now. But that's not what Jesus came for. Jesus came to bring salvation to all people. Now, Christians in the U.S. especially get caught up in politics. Now, please understand me. I'm not saying politics is not important. I'm not saying you should not be involved with politics. It is important. It's important for our country. It's important for our democracy. People who are called to be involved with politics should follow that calling. But what I'm trying to say is we don't need to get so caught up in it that it's the most important thing in our lives. We need to get excited about Jesus. But unfortunately, we see a lot right now, a lot of people who are getting too excited, too angry, filled with joy or filled with hatred over politics. And we need to understand that these politicians that we're either happy with or mad with, they're humans. They're mere humans. And they can't save our country. Only Jesus can do that. But what we got to do is pray for people. We need to pray for those who are in power, whether we like them or not. The Bible is clear on that. Jesus is the only one who is worthy to rule over us. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And one day, yes, he will come back to set up his kingdom. But he came to serve. He came to die. He came to rise again, to give all who believe forgiveness and eternal life. That's why he came. He didn't come to set up a political government of any type. He came to save us. And he'll come back to set up his kingdom. And if we're living for him, we're going to be happy to see that day. And if you're not, that's not going to be a good day at all. But Jesus came to give us eternal life. And our jobs as Christians is not to berate people over their political beliefs, is not to spew hatred towards politicians that we don't agree with. Our job is the Great Commission that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And for those of you who have been listening to this broadcast for any length of time, you know I talk about the Great Commission often because that's what we're supposed to be about. Again, we don't need to be berating people over their political beliefs or spewing hatred or getting involved with violence over politics. We need to be about our Lord's Great Commission, and that is what he tells us in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's what we are to be about, his Great Commission. You see, Jesus didn't command us to go and set up a political system. He tells us to go and tell people about him and to make disciples. You know, Jesus, he isn't Republican, he isn't Democrat, he isn't Libertarian. Jesus is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And his kingdom is not of this world. We are in this world. Therefore, we need to tell others about Jesus. We need to show forth his love to others. Jesus is not about hate. That all comes from the devil. Jesus is about loving others. And a matter of fact, he tells us to go tell people about him, to make disciples. In Luke chapter 6, he tells us to love our enemies. He tells us to do what? He tells us to love our enemies. And then he goes further. He says, "Do good to those who hate us. Bless those who curse us. And pray for those who are abusive to us." He commands us to treat people the same way that we want to be treated. You know, do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. Jesus also says to be merciful, just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. So let's do a quick survey of ourselves on how we are acting, how we are responding to the current political, social, racial unrest. How are we reacting to the pandemic? All of these situations that we find ourselves in today, how are we responding? Are we loving our enemies? Or are we spewing forth hatred and threats? Are we doing good to those who hate us? Or are we returning that hatred back to them? Are we blessing or cursing those who curse us? Are we praying for those who treat us wrong? And now I'm not talking about asking God for a lightning bolt to strike those who are doing us wrong. No, are we really praying for people and praying for them to have that relationship with Jesus, to come to the Lord and be saved, to soften hearts of people whose hearts have grown hard? Are we showing mercy? Are we giving mercy as the Father has given us? You know, none of us deserve the mercy that God has given us, but because he loves us, he gives us mercy. We were enemies of God before we gave our lives to him. Think about that. Before I was saved, I was an enemy of God because I was a sinner, and as Paul said, a chief of sinners, and therefore that made me an enemy of God. But God still loved me, and he loved you, and he loved us all so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, even while we were enemies, to die on the cross for our sins. That's his love. That's his mercy. That's his grace. Now, our greatest desire should not be getting people elected. Now, we need good people running our cities and states and country, of course. But that should not be our top goal in life, is getting who we think are the right people in office to run our country, cities, and states. That is important. And we should be part of the process. I think we should vote. And we should make our voices heard. That's how this country's set up, and we should do it. But that shouldn't be our greatest desire, because politics are not what's most important in this life. Not even close. Our greatest desire has to be telling people about Jesus, being used by God to lead people to Jesus and to make disciples like he tells us to in his Great Commission. We need to have that desire, greatest desire in our hearts, to do that and to even reach those who are totally opposite of us, no matter their politics, no matter if we have differences socially or religiously in any way. We need to reach people because that's what Jesus came to do, and that's what Jesus has commissioned us as believers to do. Let me share an example, a personal example with you. I often share personal examples because I know them best because it happened to me. So a personal example here. Martha and I have been overseas many times to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one time we were in southern Philippines, and we were in an area that is known for Muslim extremists. And even, you know, we're talking Al-Qaeda and different terrorist groups like that. Now, we know these extremists hate anyone who's not of the Islam faith and who's not of their extreme faith as well. We were there. The area we were at, there were actually different terrorist groups who were hiding out. They felt protected there. Well, we preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in that town, and we saw guys who fit the description of terrorists and the ones who were hiding out there. You know, they heard the gospel, and we even went up to them afterwards. We told them that Jesus loves them. Now, these are terrorists who hate Christians, they hate Americans, but that didn't matter because they need Jesus. They need Jesus just as much as you and I do. We've been in other parts of the world where come face to face with people of other religions, such as Hindu and Buddhism, and we share Jesus with them. Why? Because they need Jesus as well. Right here in our own country, people who don't believe in Christ or who don't like Christians for whatever reasons, but we still share Christ with them. We still share his love with them because they need Jesus too. So our greatest desire has to be to share Jesus with all people and to be used by God to lead people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, because heaven and hell are real. And if we realize how horrible hell is and how people who go to hell, they're there forever. Well, they'll eventually get, on the final judgment, get thrown into the lake of fire. But that's forever and ever and forever separated from God. So we can't hate people, because how much do you have to hate somebody to not share Jesus with them, knowing that they could go to hell and they will go to hell without Jesus? We can't hate people. Jesus doesn't hate us. He doesn't hate people. He came and died for all of us. He died for everyone in the U.S. and in China, throughout Africa, the Middle East, Europe, you name it, this whole world. Jesus came for all of us. So we can't just pick and choose who we're going to share Jesus with. We need to share Jesus with everyone, and that's even those who hate us, who don't like us at all, and who hate Jesus. And what they do with that message, that's on them. That's between them and God. But we need to share Jesus with others. We'll be held accountable for how we proclaimed or did not proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he died even for those who nailed him to the cross. That's how much he loves us. Remember, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Such grace, such mercy from our Lord. And he tells us to show the same mercy to others. So again, don't get caught up in politics and the violence and the hatred that's going on in our country today. Because too often politics, including Republicans and Democrats, weaponize their campaigns with Jesus. And what I mean by that is they will toss around the name of Jesus to say, "See, Jesus is on my side." And then those they're running against will say, "Well, see, he's on my side." And we do know some will not mention him at all, but Jesus has been used in politics for so long to get votes. What we need is to follow Jesus, not people, but follow him. Because, see, Jesus, he's not Republican, he's not Democrat, he's not what so many make him out to be. Let's look in the Bible and see the real Jesus, and let's focus on him, let's follow Jesus, and let's represent him and his views, not the views of men and women who try to conform Jesus into their way of thinking. We must represent Jesus and his views, because nothing and no one else comes before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have to keep that in focus, keep Jesus in focus, and not get caught up, because it's so easy. Again, I'm not saying be ignorant about what's going on in this country. I think it's too important. We need to be aware of what's going on, but don't get sucked into it. Find out what's going on so you can pray and know how to pray for this country, because this country needs prayer. This country needs repentance. This country needs prayer. This country needs a true awakening, a true revival to sweep this country, to change hearts. because people aren't going to save this country. Only Jesus is going to do that. And he's going to work through other believers. He's going to work through you and me who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're out there and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to understand Jesus loves you. And don't look at the politics who conform Jesus to be in their own views. I challenge you to look in the Bible. Read the Bible to see the real Jesus. And I know there are Christians out there who properly represent Jesus, and praise God for each one. But we need more. We need more believers who are true ambassadors for Christ. He tells us we are ambassadors. We're witnesses for Jesus, and we're to be about the Great Commission. So let's keep that in focus. Are you living in fear over what's happening in our country? You may not be politically active at all. You may just be scared to death by what you're seeing and hearing happening in our country. And if that's you, then I want to bring some encouragement to you this morning. I want you to remember that God tells us over 300 times in the Bible to fear not, to fear not. We need to be like King David, and we can read Psalms. I encourage you to read books of Psalms as King David, he pours out his heart. And in Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6, King David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear?" You see that? He said, "Whom should I fear?" Because the Lord is his light and salvation. He goes on and says, "The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. If an army encamps against me, my heart will not fear. If war arises against me, in spite of this, I am confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For on the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. He will hide me in the secret place of his tent. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. For I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." You see how David is talking about, I have nothing to fear because the Lord is with me. No matter what enemies out there, who comes against me, I'm confident because God's with me, and I know he's going to watch after me. And he says he's even going to sing praises to God. And what a great way right there for us to refocus. When fears of this world starts overwhelming you, just start praising Jesus. As we praise Jesus and lift up our praise and worship to him, we just feel his presence come upon us. And all the fear will fade away as you praise Jesus. So do as David writes right there. Sing praises unto the Lord, no matter what's going on. Sing praises. And then in verses 11 through 14, he writes, "Teach me your way, Lord, and lead me on the level path because of my enemies. Do not turn me over to the desire of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen against me, and the violent witness. I certainly believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, I say, wait for the Lord." You see, he's saying, take courage. No matter these enemies coming against him, he's going to take courage because of the Lord. And he's going to wait on the Lord. And that's what we need to do as well in these crazy times that we find ourselves in. We need to wait on the Lord. Let him do his work in our lives and in this country. And as we wait on the Lord, at the same time, we're to be fulfilling that Great Commission, because that's how he's going to move in our lives. He's going to move through our lives as we step out and do his will. Psalms chapter 23, verse 4, David writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If you're in fear right now, just turn to God, because he's with you. And when you realize that, you realize he's protecting you, and he's going to comfort you through his Holy Spirit. So we have no reason to fear. No reason to fear all the evil that's out there, because there's a lot out there, no doubt about it. There's a lot of evil taking place, but we don't have to fear. Put all of our trust, all of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the fears, the cares of this world won't bring us down and won't cause us to live in fear. Don't let Satan make you live in fear, because that's what he wants. If he can take your eyes off of Jesus and put you in fear, that's what he's wanting to do. Because we do have a real enemy, a real adversary, and his name is Satan. And he's trying to put everybody in fear, but don't let it happen. Remember what John wrote in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You see, nothing and no one is greater than Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, then he lives inside of you. And we truly have no reason to fear. Now, some people are saying, hey, everything that's going on is pointing to Jesus coming back soon at his second coming. And for that, I say, praise God. for every believer, that is an awesome thought and an awesome event that will take place. But the truth of the matter is we don't know when that's going to happen. There's a lot of signs pointing to that right now. I certainly agree with that. But we don't know the day. We don't know the time. So until that time, or until the time we die, we need to be about our Father's business, telling others about him and making disciples. Some people are saying persecution is coming to Christians in America. I certainly agree with that. I totally believe that's gonna happen. Exactly when and how that's going to look, I really don't know. But I do believe it's going to happen, because who are we to think that we're going to live this life without persecution when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was persecuted unto death? And when persecution does come, remember, don't complain and whine about it. Read the book of Acts, and you see how the first church responded to persecution. They rejoiced to be considered worthy to be persecuted like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when persecution comes, don't whine. Just keep focused on Jesus and just say, praise God. They know I'm different. They know that I live for Jesus. I get to be persecuted as my Lord was persecuted. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't wake up each day saying, oh, I hope I'm going to get persecuted today. No, I don't think anybody ever wants that. Even back then, that's not something they woke up every day hoping they were going to get persecuted. We have so many brothers and sisters around this world who are truly persecuted each day unto death. So it's real. But we need to pray ahead of that time and pray that our faith is going to be strong, that when persecution does come, that we don't waver, but we stand strong, firm, on solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Another thing that happens when persecution comes, that's when we'll experience real church growth. Look at countries where persecution is so intense, the church is growing. That's because you get real church growth, because if you say you're a Christian and know you're going to be persecuted, then there's very little doubt that you are a Christian, because you're not going to say that if you know you're going to be persecuted. So followers of Jesus will really stand out when persecution does come. So let's get caught up in Jesus, not in the cares of this world. Again, I'm not saying be ignorant about what's going on, because we do need to know so we know how to pray. But don't get consumed by the news of the day. Don't get caught up to the point that we're spewing forth hate and getting caught up in the violence. That's not what Jesus did, and that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to focus on him and focus on fulfilling his great commission. Well, we are out of time today, and my voice is about gone as well. But I just want to thank you again for joining me this morning, and know that Jesus loves you. And let's live wholeheartedly for him. Let's love God and love people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.